welcome to Endif Radio Episode 3. I am your host, UT Crazy, and today I am joined with no one because the Joker and Spectre were busy, but maybe we can get a few segments from people. Probably gonna release this episode tomorrow, and that will be Saturday, January 29th, 2005. But today it's Friday, January 28th, 2005, and I'm just going to get right into the housekeeping of the show, and that's to read emails. Got a lot more emails this week than we did last week, but hopefully I'll just get in right into them. First episode is from Goldfish, is his alias, and this is what he says. He says, "Hey, just listened to episode 2, some good stuff there. Here you've been having some problems with sound quality. I was just wondering if you'd like me to offer my services free of charge as a sound engineer. I've mixed radio shows before, hospital radio and such. I'm pretty experienced with Pro Tools, Cakewalk, both of which I own. The content is pretty good though. Hats off to you guys. Plus, if it adds anything to my cred, I'm a hacker too. Alright, see ya." Thank you for the offer, Goldfish. I don't know if the Joker has gotten back to you on that, but I have solved the audio problem, thanks to Kizzle for helping me out with that. I'm using the lame encoder right now, and I'm already experienced with Audacity, mixing my own show, radio show. I mean, it's a lot different than mixing music. But, I mean, I'm pretty experienced with the effects, stuff like that. Not trying to brag, I'm not at all a sound engineer, just a little experienced, but we kind of want to have control over it, and we don't want to have to rely on another person every time we make a new show. I mean, it would get frustrating sometimes, and I know it would, so thanks for the offer. We're going to decide as, like, a team to... I don't know if we're gonna allow it or not, but I'm guessing no. I say no. I don't know what Spectre and the Joker think, but that's what I think. We might need your help sometime in the future. We'll keep the email. Just if we have sound problems, maybe we want a little help with that. I don't know. Moving on to our next email. And the next email, let's see when it comes up, is from the Divine Media Whore of the Web. That's just what he signs off his email with. And he writes, "First off, for God's sake, turn down the music in the background. I mean, hell, it's hard to understand you guys. It's a good idea if done right, but I really think unless you both plan on talking way louder or keep the music down real quiet, I would prefer you just can the music. If I want to listen to the music while listening to Endif Radio, I'll turn some on my end. Seriously, I can't stress that enough. Drop the music." And, of course, I dropped the music. If anyone listened later on, I stopped doing the music because I was getting too many complaints. And I took out the music, just added in the... I mean, and I do realize he said the last... He probably listened to it when the music was in it, and he didn't... So it sounds a lot better now, but, I mean, think of it this way. I was re-encoding 24K because I downloaded the copy that the Joker put on and re-encoded it to 24K. So, it was 24K re-encoded with 24K, so it was really bad. Okay, anyway, you did a little thing on Esteem, and he constantly spells Exeem wrong. It's E-X-E-E-M. I don't know what's up with that. You can't spell it Exeem. I mean, it's clearly Exeem. E-X-E-E-M. It's not hard at all. No, never mind. Anyway, you did a little thing on Exeem. I'll correct him. Which was nice, I guess. However, I feel you were kind of lacking. First off, you said Exeem was lacking spyware. This is a huge lie, and that's true. Misunderstanding, yes. I thought they were better than that. Exeem, not Esteem. I thought they were better than that. Like Kazaa. I know they're really... I mean, they're not making any money off this. I mean, you can't blame them, right? And Exeem Lite is the biggest piece of garbage because it crashes. I know a few people I've told about that. Like, oh, I guess I should do that because I didn't know. it apparently installs a side door install called Cider, and didn't know that. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but it's crashing like everyone's system I know, so I'm gonna keep it. Like, it slows down my computer a lot, as long as I don't have spyware. But see, this is huge lie, misunderstanding, inaccurate statement. Well, I don't know which of those would install at least, but anyway, it was off. Allow me, if you will, to point to a site you might be interested in. Not gonna give the link. I didn't check it out, but I'm not really into the peer-to-peer. The only thing I like Xeem is because, like, otherwise I use BitTorrent. Only reason I use Xeem is because it uses the BitTorrent modified protocol. Also, I'll view the time and get back to the Xeem thing. Sorry for the Gmail so poorly written. Sleep is a luxury I've been without recently. What I was going for was that Xeem installs Sidedoor spyware on your system. Google Sidedoor if you want to learn about it. But trust me, this is something you don't want on your system. Also, there is a no comp out option during install, so you're stuck installing it. The software doesn't come out and tell you that it's installing Cider, so I definitely call it spyware. This is the reason for Xeem Lite, which is because all Lite equivalent to Xeem. It can be downloaded at exlite.net. Go check out if you're considering installing and using Xeem. Damn, it's late. I've got more I want to say, but time's short. I'm enjoying the show, no offense intended. But it seems a little, dare I say it, noobish, but hell, at least you're trying. That's more than most people, including me. I'll tell you to up the level a bit, but I know it's hard to do. And more of a gradual thing. Oh, and so I'm going to whistle and like shit on a sec. If you want to encode at 24k, you might want to listen to the song after you encode. To make sure it doesn't turn out something that people's ears would. Consider yourselves lucky. I don't sue you for the damage my brain suffered for listening to that. I'm joking, of course. But still, at least listen to yourselves first before putting me through it. Keep recording, and it'll get easier as you practice. Also, try and get a little more content in the show. Take care, and best of luck to you in all your future endeavors. He also said a little bit more, just a little thing explaining, stuff. Surprised he can spell endeavors, but he can't spell Xeem. But I mean, if you heard about Xeem and you started off and someone misspelled Xeem, then you're gonna think it's Esteem throughout the whole email. But I don't blame him. It's kind of a weird name. If you ever heard Slonchek talking, he's, interesting voice, I'll just say that. Let's see. That's all the emails for this week, for NDF Radio. But moving on, not an extremely full show, but I'll talk about kind of personal experiences. As some of you might know, some of you, if you've ever talked to me in IRC, I'm UT Crazy, obviously, in IRC. I pop in all the time, and one time, I just went on a huge bit about how I'm such a Linux noob, and I am. I seriously am. I can function in Linux. I'm not one of those people that would just completely wouldn't know how to do anything. But I mean, I still use Mandrake, which is one of the easiest distros to use, and that's why I use it. But I'm also interested in a new distro, not new, but a distro called Plan 9, and I've heard a few people, I'm not sure who, but in BinRev mentioning Plan 9, said it was mousy, but me and my friend were interested in it. We're both Linux people, but we're interested in it because you go to their website and you select what hardware you have, so it only includes the drivers for that. So it doesn't give you a whole bunch of unnecessary stuff, and I think that's a really cool feature that other distros should have. And if I want to try that out sometime, I just got Mandrake on my machine. I'm going to play around with it, get a bit more comfortable with Linux so I can function it a bit better. Baby steps. I'm going to start off with Mandrake. Next two distros I want to try on two other different machines are Fedora Core 3. anyone could give me a little more info on that. I mean, I've heard the fedoras don't match the Red Hat, but I mean, it's a updated, more version. But can anyone give me a little more information on Fedora Core 3 and Plan 9? Maybe you've used it. That's the best distro I've ever used. I strongly recommend it. Maybe you want to say that. Email us anything. New topics for the show. If you have a segment for the show, email it to us or contact me. Tell me what the segment's about. Then we can add you into the segment of the show. But it really doesn't matter. Though send in any comments to that. We appreciate it. I know having more people listen to the show really makes it all the more worthwhile experience to do, and makes it a bit more like we're not wasting our time here. So that's email things about Linux, really doesn't matter. More information, I'll Google it, I know. See different things. Oh yeah, also, I'd just like to mention that you can copy, distribute, reproduce this episode in any way, shape, or form, but all we ask is you give us the original permission. Scratch that. You say who the authors are, and also, if you're doing something like that, let us know. That would be really cool. You don't have to, but having stuff like that happen, maybe, I gave your episodes to all my friends, just to let them know, makes us feel pretty good. May notice the opening clip is the Kids in the Hall theme, one of my favorite opening themes of all time. I don't think it can ever get old for me. It isn't hacking related, but I don't think it can ever, like Simpsons. Every time I watch that show, I can't stand having to listening through the opening theme. I just hate it. I can't bear to listen anymore. It's like a chore. I have to leave for 2 minutes just to watch this stupid theme. That's so long. They keep on adding everything. They start off and Homer's in the power plant, Bart goes through the town, Maggie's in the shopping bag, Maggie drives, Marge runs after her, they all come back to the thing. It gets really long, they go through the school. I mean, it used to be one thing, and it changed each time. Like, Maggie was driving, that was one thing. Homer at the power plant, and Bart skateboarding, then they came back home. That was it, nothing else. But now, they have to make it 2 minutes long just because they can't make the episode 2 minutes long. Just to waste 2 minutes or 1 minute, however long. I bet it's about 2 minutes. It's unbearable having to listen through this stupid theme over and over and over and over and over for as many years as I've been watching that show. This is a huge topic that's so overdone and talked about and discussed, and I'm not gonna lecture you, because I know you all know it. If you're listening to this show, I know you know how to get rid of adware. I'm not gonna tell you about that. I'm gonna tell you about a little rant. How much I hate the people that, I mean, seriously, what kind of person would you have to be to create adware? First of all, put it on someone's computer in different ways. Maybe it's creating a song, downloading off Kazaa, making it available, and then having this embedded adware every time you listen. Gets worse and worse, slows down your computer. What about the little people that don't know how to get rid of it? They just think their computer is getting slow. They don't know you should format once a year. And I know I do it a lot more than that. Almost once every 3 months, 4 months. It really depends. They don't know that you need to format. They don't know you need to use adware. They don't know you need to use spybot. They don't know you need... the only thing they do know is that vicious hackers are going to get into their computer. If they don't have a firewall, if they don't spend the money on a firewall, if they don't have a fire scanner running all the time. I don't have a fire scanner running. Someone's going to get into my computer right now. I don't have the firewall running. Someone is going to steal my internet. Someone's going to get into my computer, steal my bank account information, steal all my money just for not having the firewall running. I know someone, not going to mention any names. A few, maybe a year ago or so, they were like, "Oh, my parents say we need a firewall. We're going to go. We only have one computer. These people only have one computer. And I hope you all know the purpose of a router is so that you can have more than one computer on the internet, obviously. Not going to tell you more about that." They said, "We're going to go buy a router. We're going to spend probably $100 a year ago on a router. Very good router, Linksys router. Just to have a firewall. And to top that off, we're going to buy 3 firewall programs. Aren't we great, UT?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you are great. You're wasting all your money." And I wouldn't have said this to them, but I was thinking, "You're wasting all your money. You don't need that much. If you're using Windows, Windows firewall is okay. I wouldn't suggest it. I wouldn't suggest a program firewall. It just basically limits your activity to the internet." And don't get me wrong, someone's going to email me saying, "That's not true. Software firewalls are okay." But don't go out and buy a router just so you can have a firewall. And then you'll get the router and you won't put it on so that it's encrypted, and you'll waste the whole purpose of the router. Am I way off here? Like, someone tell me. I've had experience with software firewalls. I've never tried to hack into my own box, but I guess they work. They're really good. All it is to me is fancy. That's all it is. It's all just buttons and colors and something else running on your computer to slow it down. I'm not going to try to tell you that I have a AMD Athlon, whatever, 3 gigahertz machine, what, 8 gigabytes of RAM, huge kick-ass machine that is way elite to compared to your measly little machines. It's a low-end AMD Athlon XP 2500, whatever. It's only 2 gigahertz or 2.2 gigahertz. I only have 512 RAM. It's an average system. If you went out to buy one, you might get something similar. Might get something better. Looks better because it's a Pentium 4, but in my experience, AMD's are far superior to Pentium 4s. Maybe you want to email us some comments on that. What kind of computer do you have? And in your experience, which one has been better for you if you've tried them? AMD, Intel, or maybe you have an Apple. That would be interesting to have a segment about Apples. And maybe you know a little something about this new Apple computer. It looks really small, to tell you the truth. It's kind of wasted because you still have this monitor, you still have this keyboard, you still have this mouse. It was all in a tiny little package, like a tablet PC. And maybe it would be worthwhile, but it's cheap, I'll give it that. Isn't the best machine. To tell you the truth, there's 2 different machines. One's about $100 more, and neither of them has really a sufficient amount of memory, like 256, that isn't hardly enough. I know my old machine, I had 288 megabytes of RAM. That didn't satisfy XP, but I mean, I guess it has OS 10, maybe. I haven't had any experience whatsoever with an Apple except for the Macs that were unreliable, that were big, just a box. Big box, very slow. That was back in the day. That was just, it used, I don't know what it used. Really, I've never owned one. I've just used them. But anyways, maybe someone could let me know here. Asking for a lot of things here. Someone could let me know, how does the Apples compare? Okay, you look at this, you go to Apple.com, you look at this new machine, I'm not sure what it's called. You tell me, maybe I'm wrong, all wrong here. Maybe you don't need more than 256 with an Apple. I mean, it's OS 10, maybe, like, Windows XP with 256 is bare minimal. Not bare minimal, but, like, my very old machine had 64 megabytes of RAM. It ran like a slug. But it ran. Maybe 256 is sufficient. 288 was barely sufficient. My 512, that's sufficient. 1 gigabyte surpasses what you need for most things these days. But let me know. Maybe you know a little bit about this machine. Maybe how does it compare to the Pentiums or the Pentiums, it's a bit general, or the AMDs. Get me a bit more information on it. That I much appreciated. I don't know if the Joker uses an Apple or not. I think maybe he has maybe a box lying around. If I ever find an Apple that someone's selling, maybe it's worth buying. I don't know. What's the range I'm gonna have to pay for a used Apple these days? That's decent. Questions here I could look up on Google, but I want some hardcore experience. Anyways, back to the topic. Adware. I really, really don't understand why someone would be driven to make adware. I mean, if you're not being paid for it, then there really is no reason. If you are, then that person should have already been found by the government. But most, like, let's say spam, for example, they move around, they go free internet. You all know how spammers work, go different free internet accounts, can never be tracked. Have you ever tried to reply to an email to a spammer? I have, just for fun. I have an email just dedicated to spam, just so that whenever I have to sign up for things, so that's what I point it to. Maybe I point it to blah 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 at hotmail.com, and then all my spam gets there. And when I get ridiculous offers and stuff like that, like people saying they want to give me $10 billion because they need an offshore correspondent from North America, and I reply and it's like the following address does not exist anymore. What do? They just make it, send the spam, and then delete the address? How does that accomplish anything? Everyone's well aware how spam works these days. Do they think that people are seriously gonna give them their credit card number? Some people will, they're stupid, but give them their credit card number, actually buy these products? I mean, it looks like you just send them the money, and then they're never gonna send you the product. Like, and some of these are like products for cheap, and it's Windows XP Professional, they can't spell anything, there's a whole ton of different letters in there, I know, just added in because it's spam. They really believe, oh, they can't spell Professional, I'm gonna buy it from them, rather than go to my Best Buy or Future Shop or Circuit City. I'm gonna buy it from this online email site that sends me 10 emails a day. They really want my business. I don't get emails from Best Buy, I don't get emails from Future Shop, I don't get emails from Circuit City. They really care about me, these spammers that send me 10 emails a day about Windows XP Professional and other products that I can get for $400. I'm gonna get it from here. I really don't know what's going through people's minds, if they've ever considered it. I think maybe when it was new, they might have considered it, like they get spam, oh, someone's selling something, it spells normally, this looks like a good product, why not get it off the internet, looks a bit cheaper, you save 90% off of it. How do they get it? Either you send them the money, you never get it, they overprice it, and then put it down to the same price as Windows XP, where 90% you have saved, or, it's burnt copy, they send it to you, doesn't work, maybe the key doesn't work, but chances are they're never gonna send it to you. And am I all wrong here? I don't think so. If I am, that's not my problem. I don't think I am. think spammers and adware people and virus creators. I mean, it can work. Maybe I'm all off the whole hacker mindset here, but I think it's all about exploring things that you regularly don't have access to. That's what it's all about. That's what my impression of it is. And I think these people that create adware, viruses, spam in general, are just posers. People that are like, oh, I'm gonna hack your site. Your site's easy to hack, I'm gonna hack it. It should be fun. I'm a noob and I use some hacking program. Sounds fun. I'm gonna create a virus. I'm just gonna go to Google, whatever. Virus. Download virus, zip it, put it into an email. Here's a cool screensaver, guy. I don't know you, but you should open the screensaver. It will infect your computer with many viruses that will duplicate and duplicate. You'll use 10 different virus scan programs. It'll go into your memory. You'll have to format. Maybe even get a new computer. It'll continuously be there. There'll be some sector that it'll miss. And your computer will be dead. You'll have to throw it in the garbage and step on it and water it. Because it'll set on fire. I mean, that really pisses me off. Oh. Wow, that was a very nice rant, and I think that went off well. See, Binrav was talking about this spam Hotmail. He said, I don't want to sound argumental, but he said, oh, some weeks I have 10,000 pieces of spam in my inbox. Well, that's kind of your problem, because I have one account I'm never on. I never use, never give away. It has a few messages of spam. That's because it's in the Hotmail database. I don't get 10,000 in two weeks. No way. I might get 100 if I in my normal one that I even give away for some things. But 10,000, even my spam thing doesn't get 10,000 or 1,000. Even if he was thinking of 1,000. I mean, what is going through his mind thinking he gets 10,000? Maybe he does. Maybe he's giving away his account, everything he goes and says, I want spam in Google. Maybe I'm all off here. Maybe it's just me that doesn't get a lot of spam. But what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? Do you use Google, Hotmail? Personally, I love Gmail. Spam isn't a problem. The folders, the whole interface, I love that. 1,000 megabytes, I mean, 250 for Hotmail is still sufficient for me. It's just an email thing. I'm not putting up like videos on it. Not much else I can say about that. Just I'm on Mandrake, I guess. I was talking to someone in the IRC yesterday, and I was saying I should get Mandrake because my whole system is lagging. I really don't want Windows anymore. And I actually did it. If they ever listen to this, email me. I know I got it. If you want to send any emails to me for this episode, utcrazy@hotmail.com. Just all lowercase, no spaces, no underscores, whatever. utcrazy@hotmail.com. And, or endifradio@gmail.com. Either one, I check. I'd probably get your message, like, if personally to me, before, quicker if you sent it to UTCrazy, but really doesn't matter if it's that much of an inconvenience, just send it to endifradio@gmail.com. Shout out to the Joker. Hopefully, he does, he's studying whatever exams, he does well on that. I know Spectre might put a segment somewhere in the show. I'll have to edit it out if he does, but otherwise this is the episode. Don't know what the closing music is gonna be, but, hopefully you enjoy it. Maybe it is an okay song. Thank you for listening to End of Radio. It's been your host, UTCrazy. And, this sign-off slogan doesn't really fit for this particular show, but it does for mine. And I'm just going to say, keep gaming, America.
sound that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one, and I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk up. My shadow's only one that walks beside me. My shallow heart's the only thing that's beating. Sometimes I wish someone out there will find me. Till then I walk alone. I'm walking down the somewhere in my mind, on the borderline of the edge and where I walk alone. Read between the lines, what's fucked up and everything's alright. Check my vital signs, no, I'm still alive and I walk alone. This empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one.